the fifth chapter, beginning with the seventh verse. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until he receives the early and late rain. You too must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm is a psalm about what happens when the lament and the sorrow that we talked about last Sunday, when the lament and the sorrow is over. Listen to the verbs again of the psalm we shared together. He will speak peace to his people. Surely his salvation is at hand. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground. Righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good. Our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. Notice how these verbs are in the future tense. The psalmist is not looking back at the past of what happened back then. The time of lament is now in the past. But good news, salvation, steadfast love, faithfulness, righteousness are in God's future for Israel. Already, as I suggested to the kids, written down in God's book. The future tense, God's ultimate and best word. God's ultimate and last word to us is a good word. It's a word of grace. Last Sunday, we talked about Psalm 80, talked about how to pray when things hurt. Today, we learn from James how to pray in response to God's assurance. James' setting is in church. He writes about elders. He writes about prayers for those in special need, just as we will offer prayers for people in special needs later in the service. James names some of those who might come forward for special prayers. Are any among you suffering? Are any among you sick? Anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Suffering. The hurts that we talked about last Sunday that haven't quite gone away yet. Sick or concerned about the illness of someone that we care about. Committed sins. Or in some other way concerned about their spiritual well-being. James says, pray for one another that you may be healed. James says that among those who pray for others in their church, especially should include the elders of the church. I wonder what he means by elders. Later in the history of the church, the Greek term presbyteros, elder, was a title given to office holders in the church. For Reformed people, elders are people elected to our board of elders, charged especially along with many other things, with the spiritual oversight of the church. For many denomination, elders meant a member of the clergy. There's a kind of linguistic connection here. Presbyteros got anglicized as prester, and then prester became, in the course of things, priest. So for many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, elders are the clergy. Elders are the religion specialists. But you know what? Reformed folk don't get away with that. Prayer is not the specialty of the ordained hands laid upon holy clergy. Prayer is the responsibility of all of us. The original meaning of presbyteros was an older person, or more significantly, a more experienced person, a person in whom others could trust. And I wonder if that's not what James means by elder in this particular text. A special responsibility to people who are more mature and more experienced in faith. This responsibility is not entirely to come to meetings. Sometimes I wonder, did Jesus really say, if you love me, come to committee meetings? The special responsibility of those mature in faith, according to James, is to pray for others. But notice it's not exclusively the responsibility of those mature in faith, members of our board of elders who are charged to pray, because James also says, pray for one another. It's our mutual responsibility as Christians to pray. And I think that's important. It's especially important because sometimes those who are in special need of prayer, those who are sick, those who are worried about others, those who are worried about their own spiritual condition, it may be especially difficult for them to pray. And sometimes we have put the prayer burden on others, on the person who has been afflicted. Sometimes we say, or at least we seem to say in church, pray harder. Things will get better. Pray harder. Everything will be all right. But when it's not all right, or when it's not all right soon enough, we leave the afflicted one with an additional burden. We leave that one with the burden of, I didn't pray hard enough, or I didn't pray long enough. It must be my fault that the suffering or the illness or the concern has not gone away. No, says James, pray for one another that you may be healed. What about this business about the prayer of a righteous one is powerful and effective? As leader of the service, I'm supposed to pray for others, and I will do so later in the service. But you know, Sharon can clue you in on this if you can't guess it, I'm not especially righteous. And sometimes I need not to be the prayer as much as I need to be the prayee. Sometimes I need to be the one that's prayed for instead of the one who prays for others. So James tells us about the prayers of the prophet Elijah. God did amazing things in response to Elijah's prayers. That must be because Elijah was holy. Elijah had reached a level of spirituality that no one among us has. Elijah must have been a desert monk, a specially holy person. And James is careful to deny that. Elijah was a human being like us. The Greek term for like us was homeopathes, just in case you were wondering. But it meant to have similar feelings, to share the same nature. Elijah is an example of someone who sometimes lost his temper, sometimes used language that we'd prefer not to use in church, sometimes got angry at others because they said something that Elijah didn't like. Elijah is an example of one who is spiritually like us, not one who is spiritually miles above us. And yet, God heard his prayers, and through his prayers, God did amazing things. Reformed Christians ought especially to remember our righteousness is Christ's righteousness that God implants within us. Our faithfulness is God's faithfulness given to us. So we can pray righteously and faithfully only because Christ's righteousness and Christ's faithfulness have been given to us by grace. And prayer, James says, is powerful and effective. What happens when Christians pray? I've sometimes used a term to describe a number of activities in which God tells us to do something, and then through these human activities accomplishes something, and I use the term sacramentally. How does sacrament work? The minister presides over the Lord's Supper. He does everything that a human being can do in presiding over the sacrament. He leads the great prayer of thanksgiving. He reads the words of institution. He breaks bread, pours wine. And then God does what the minister or any person cannot do. It is God who makes Christ present to us in the sacrament. The minister didn't do it. The words of the minister are not magic words accomplishing something. The minister does everything that a human being can do, and then God makes something happen. Look at baptism, and here's where you get in a squabble sometimes with our Baptist friends. A child is born, and her parents bring her to church, meet with the elders, and in due course, she's presented for baptism. The minister reads scripture. The minister lays hands upon her and prays. As our Baptist friends tell us, there's no magic in what the minister says and does. But God does in baptism what the minister and congregation cannot do. He lights the first spark of regeneration within her and unites the child with God in the church. Baptism, Lord's Supper. The Reformers, when they were describing preaching, used language that came very, very close to calling preaching a sacrament. The preacher prepares, does his exegesis, hammers out the sermon, makes the funny remark, no, here, up there instead, does the best he can do, and then God steps in and makes it the word of God to the hearers. One of our early Reformed catechisms says, the preached word of God is the word of God. And preachers have understood this. They've experienced it. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of the best preachers of our time, remarks that she preached, and then at the door, shaking hands with the people, someone said, thank you, Barbara, for saying, and she quoted, thank you so much, it meant so much to me. And the preacher knew the preacher had not pronounced those words. God took the written word and the preached word and made it his word to members of the congregation in a way that the preacher could not accomplish. And I think that's something about how prayer works. We lift up our laments as we did last Sunday, our intercessions, our confessions to God, and then God enters into our prayers, lifts them up and transforms them. As Paul says in the 8th chapter of Romans, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Not in the absence of our prayers, but through them, God accomplishes what you and I could never do. So we can pray with assurance because it's God's assurance that enables us to pray. It is God who lifts up our prayers and accomplishes wonderful things through them. So we will continue to pray for one another. Elders especially, as James says, you're not off the hook. But especially we pray for one another, let us receive the prayer ministry of our brothers and sisters in Christ today. If you feel a need for prayer, come forward a little later in the service. We'll have an anointing with oil, as James says. We'll offer a prayer quietly, as James says. Let us continue to pray for one another, because it's through our prayers that God does amazing things. Let us pray. Gracious God, your vision of peace and wholeness comes to us in all sorts of ways. Kindle our hearts that we might be a hopeful people. Keep us from growing weary of waiting. Keep our prayers faithful so that we do not miss the glory of your appearing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.